Small Town Podcast is made possible by generous support from the Georgia Municipal Association. GMA supports Georgia cities. Small Town Podcast is supported by Consolidated Pipe and Supply Company. Consolidated Pipe and Supply Company is a full-line supplier of products for the water, wastewater, and natural gas industries, and they serve utilities and public works departments in cities, large and small, every day. As a family-owned company with a legacy that began in 1960, let Consolidated Pipe and Supply Company show you that they are dedicated to service.
I hereby call this episode to order.
Hey, small towners, it's Mayor Matt Seal, and thanks for joining me for another episode of Small Town Podcast. I have been so humbled by the success of Small Town Podcast. It has reached more people faster than I would have ever guessed. And while I wanted to explore small towns outside of my home state of Georgia eventually, I would never have imagined that I would already be traveling to other states as early as I have. While I still don't get nearly as many listens as more popular true crime podcasts, like the one that inspired me to start Small Town Podcast, we have attracted the attention of many, including other podcasters, who are asking me about my story and my small town of Osceola. I recently had the opportunity to be a guest on the Chad Whittle Podcast, and I'd like to share that interview with you for this episode. So today, instead of visiting a small town, we're going to go talk with Chad Whittle about Small Town Podcast. Come go with me. Growing up in coastal Georgia, I only thought I lived in a small town. As soon as I graduated high school, I moved to the big city of Atlanta for college and to start my life. My life is a journey, and I ended up in Osceola, Georgia. Population 3,400. We've got two traffic lights here. We're not looking to get a third anytime soon. Some years later, the people of Osceola made me their mayor. Man, I love living in a small town. Other folks do too. This is the Small Town Podcast, and I'm your host, Mayor Matt Seal of the great city of Osceola, Georgia. Small Town Podcast is sponsored by the Douglas Coffee County Chamber of Commerce and Economic Development Authority. Our nation is going through an incredible transition right now. There's a mass migration to small towns and rural communities. People are seeking out vibrant communities with great entertainment, recreational opportunities, low cost of living, and strong local economies. If that sounds like something you would like to find, then I invite you to discover the city of Douglas and Coffee County, Georgia. Visit coffeegachamber.com to find out why the Douglas Coffee County community is a great place to visit and an even better place to call home.
My guest today is the host of the Small Town Podcast and the mayor of Osceola, Georgia, Matt Seal. On his podcast, he talks to other small town officials discussing their stories and the stories of their small towns. Mayor Seal, welcome to the podcast.
Chad, thanks for having me. Looking forward to our conversation.
You're actually the second mayor from Georgia to be a guest on my podcast.
Well, I'm not the first. Who was the first?
Scott James in Valdosta.
Okay. Scott James Matheson. I've met him a few times.
Yeah, we go back a couple of years. I worked for him when I attended Valdosta State at his radio stations, and we've kept in touch ever since.
Okay, well, that's very cool.
So he's a good guy. And
so not the first mayor, but certainly the first small town mayor, because Valdosta is not a small town.
A little bigger than Osceola, but Osceola's a nice little town.
Definitely.
I've been through Osceola many times in my life on the way to Tifton or to I-75 coming from Douglas.
And that's the story. Most people know Osceola because they're passing through to get somewhere else. So we're doing some things to hope that the people will make their journey to end up in Osceola.
Well, I like passing through Osceola. As I said, it's a nice little town. It's always fun to just pass through a little town like Osceola. So tell me about your background. This is the first time we've ever spoken. You've had an interesting journey to Osceola, to becoming the mayor.
Yeah. The first thing I tell people is I didn't grow up here. I wasn't born and raised in Osceola. And I think that's a little odd because in most small towns and rural parts of not just Georgia, but any state, I joke that you have to have five generations that have farmed the land in order to put your name on the ballot and expect to get elected anything. And that's certainly not the case for me. So I have a fraternity brother from college. I went to Georgia Tech. And he's actually born and raised from here. He does have five generations that have farmed the land. So he's definitely a local. And I would come down to visit with him. I was living up in Atlanta. I actually grew up in coastal Georgia, was born in Savannah, raised in Hinesville, which is right near Fort Stewart, big military base, Army base. I went to college at Georgia Tech. And after graduating, stayed up in the metro Atlanta area and was visiting this fraternity brother down in rural South Georgia. He actually doesn't even live in Osceola. His family's got a large muscadine vineyard, big family farm that's in Irwin County, but not in Osceola. And I passed through Osceola, kind of like what you were saying, find the town to be quaint, nice place, laid back lifestyle, kind of easygoing, and made the comment that I should find some kind of business to invest in so I'd have a reason to come down more often. And so that fraternity brother's mother actually told me about a building that was for sale downtown. And I didn't think much of it, but she persisted, and I ended up discussing with the owners, and ended up buying that building. And at the time, a retail store was in most of the building, and the daughter of one of the owners that I bought the building from was running the front counter of that retail store, kind of running the operations. And she's now my wife, and I ended up staying in Osceola more than just visiting, and so that's how I came to be here. So years later. Ended up running for mayor, not really something I sought to do, but people just kind of pushed me to encourage me. I had some views on some things, put some articles in the paper, was kind of outspoken about economic development issues I thought could be done a little different, a little better. And I didn't think that it was the fate of every small town to just dry up. And that seems to be what happens sometimes. But you certainly there's some challenges, but I certainly think there's some things we can do to keep things going and not just survive, but thrive. And so I kind of got pushed to take on a role where I could help those things and resisted the first couple of times. But in 2015, there was a special election when the current mayor at the time resigned to run for another office at the state level. And I was pushed into encouraged, I should say. I'm supposed to say encouraged. To run for office, and I got elected, and I've been in that position ever since.
So 2015, that's a pretty good number of years to be the mayor of Osceola. In your time as mayor, what's been the biggest challenge so far?
Oh, I don't know that there's one biggest challenge. It's just a lot of rural areas kind of have the same kind of thing. There's a lot of common challenges we've got. Kind of the tax digest seems to be going down, where a lot of folks are losing population or at least struggling to maintain. Irwin County's actually gone down a little bit, not as bad as some of the other rural areas, other counties we could point to we've maintained. But the cost of doing things, the cost of even basic infrastructure is probably the easiest thing to point to, keeps going up. But our ability to collect taxes based on property values and commerce, we continue to face challenges there. So when it's time to fix a road that is in desperate need of repair, or water pipes or sewer pipes or things like that, the costs are going up to do those things, but our ability to pay those costs is staying the same, or in some cases going down. So it's just that basic, you know, the way the world has kind of shifted as far as how our economies work. You know, things are getting centralized and globalized. And so that's had a dramatic effect on places where fewer people live, because they like to live kind of spread out. So to have the same kind of things as a bigger city, it's harder to do. And I just mean some basic amenities to build and maintain some parks and some nice things like that. It's a little more of a challenge because there's fewer people here that will enjoy those things. And so fewer people here that essentially pay those things through property taxes and sales taxes. And then just some of the retail things. Like I said, I ended up buying a building. I kind of ended up becoming a retailer by default within the next 12 months. And that was back in 2005. So I know firsthand the struggles of small town retail and getting people to shop local. It's trending in the right direction. People are appreciating. And honestly, the global pandemic we've undergone in the last year has actually encouraged people to support local businesses more, partly because they can't travel, but partly because they appreciate it more. Wow, I forgot this was here. I'm so glad you're still here, that we can come and get what we need or what we want, you know, in a close place down in our own downtown. But still, even with that momentum shifting in a positive direction, getting people to come to a smaller town and generating enough of that sales tax revenue is a continuing challenge. I think there's a trend, not just with the pandemic, but even before that, where people were appreciating small towns and appreciating downtowns, as opposed to, you know, we're starting to see things shift as far as like people, shopping malls aren't quite as popular. And sometimes those are not in your downtown area. They're on the outskirts of town. And so there's a little more of a kind of a shift back to downtowns. And you even mentioned passing through Ocilla, the quaintness, not like passing through a nice downtown. People are stopping more. People are going to places more. So certainly we've had to make efforts to you know, bring people on. But that's where the challenge is. And so luckily in my explanation, I'm able to say that things are kind of starting to trend in a positive direction.
And your podcast is a great way to promote Ocilla, to get the name of Ocilla, Georgia out there to a wider audience. People that may be passing through, traveling through Georgia, if they have to travel through Ocilla because of your podcast, maybe they'll stop and shop in Ocilla.
It's definitely given Ocilla, which was exactly the point, it's given Ocilla a little more higher profile, a little more notoriety. Every once in a while, someone will say, well, hey, you know, why aren't you just promoting your town the whole time? Well, there's only so many episodes someone will listen to about the same town. And I want to promote small towns as a whole brand. I've got great friends that I've made through the Georgia Municipal Association that are mayors and council members and, you know, other appointed and elected officials in small towns. And we all have those common struggles. So if there's a way I can help them too. But yeah, to your point, I get to say, I'm Mayor Matt Steele of the great city of Ocilla in every episode. And through my conversations, which are not scripted, if you listen to it, you know, we just kind of start with the same question. But where the conversation goes, there's common themes, but it's very much an organic conversation. If there's something I can contribute to that conversation that allows me to talk about Ocilla, I do. And so, yeah, people have gotten to know Ocilla through those conversations if they're longtime listeners of the podcast. And that's certainly a great benefit. I'm getting the feedback from that for people I go up to Atlanta to do visits, or other people in conferences across the state. And now even outside the state, people know where Ocilla is because of the podcast, which is exactly what I hope to achieve in part.
So tell me about your podcast. What made you interested in starting a podcast? Because a podcast, if you really love it, if you're passionate about it, it takes a lot of time. It takes a lot of effort to find guests, to record, to travel. It can be a hobby, and nothing wrong with it being a hobby. But even as a hobby, if you really are passionate about it, you want to make it sound good, it takes a lot of work. So in addition to your duties as the mayor, what made you interested in adding to that this podcast?
Yeah, I get that a lot because the mayor, while it feels like a full-time job as far as how much work goes into it, Ocilla doesn't have a city manager, so I'm the de facto city manager. But it's certainly part-time by pay. The salary of the mayor of Ocilla is $8,400 a year. So in addition to doing that, of course, I have to maintain my own business interest for the income part. And the podcast is certainly not a big money raiser. Although I have been fortunate to find sponsors and partners that help cover the costs of it. So I'm able to do the things you just laid out. Very true. You know all too well from doing your podcast. The thing that inspired me to do it was actually another podcast. There was a podcast that ended up highlighting Ocilla, but not in the way that you want to be promoted. It was a podcast called Up and Vanished. And it was big. It was getting, you know, a million, million and a half downloads per episode. And it was about a crime. It was a missing persons case, the largest case file in Georgia Bureau of Investigation history. And it was a person that was a teacher who was in Irwin County. She had disappeared in 2005. The podcast came out in, I guess that was 2017. And late 16, early 17. And during the case, they actually made an arrest. The GBI did for the murder. They found enough during that time. So the episodes started getting huge downloads, and the host and creator of that podcast was on national news media. It was a big deal. So Osceola got all kinds of recognition. I'm trying to get some recognition on my podcast. It got a lot more recognition, but not in the way that you would want it to. So the reason I started the podcast was so I could tell the whole story, not just about my town, because a lot of times that's just what happens. The news media, they're quick to come down there in their vans to the courthouse for a trial, for you know, some kind of crime. You know, other small towns, if they're in financial trouble and some kind of issue like that, you know, how hard a time they're having to recover from some kind of natural disaster. That's what gets put out in the media, not the good things, not the success of a local fundraiser or, you know, because those aren't as sexy. Those aren't as exciting, you know, news headlines. I don't fault the media. I get why one thing's more exciting than the other. That's kind of the way the world works, but I'm just trying to counterbalance that. So, if I'd have known what I was getting into and how hard it was, I may have taken a second thought. I'm glad I didn't, because it's been an incredible experience as I'm starting my fourth season now of the podcast. I've just had to, because at first I really wanted to do, oh yeah, we'll do an episode every week. But as you point out, it's, there's a lot to it. And especially in the beginning, I'm starting this newfangled podcast and I'm having to, you know, hit up my friends that are mayors in small towns in Georgia. And I didn't have to twist anyone's arm, but it wasn't an immediate, oh yeah, that's great. They didn't quite get what I was doing. They were uncertain about it, but I got some people that agreed to let me sit down, put a big microphone in front of their face and talk to them and ask them questions about their town and their life and, you know, to promote it. Since then, as it's gaining popularity, people now reach out to me. And so that part's gotten easier. I've got people that reach out to me to sponsor it. I've got people that reach out to me to be guests and to promote their town. But at first, you know, before you hear some of the episodes, I know nobody wants to go first. I've had to make the seasons limited because, just like you point out, I've got other obligations in Osceola. But I do, and I like that I decided to do this from the beginning. I don't do any interviews over the phone. I go to the town. I try to get pictures. I get a city hall selfie. I really want to promote the town. And so once I begin my season, I release a new episode every other week. And during that 2 weeks where the most recent episode is, you know, whatever small town, we're promoting that town, whatever its annual festival is, whatever historical significance, maybe an event that happened there, a famous person from there. We're doing that on our social media channels and just trying to get people to take a look and maybe go in there. Because a lot of these towns, some of them, people have never heard of them. Sometimes if it's a town that's in your region, you've heard of it, but maybe hadn't been through in a long time, didn't know what was new, what was worth going there for, whether that's a restaurant, an event, something of historical nature. And we're just trying to, you know, kind of bring it about. We talk about the challenges too. You know, I don't shy away from, some of the issues, whether they're social, whether they're some of the fiscal and financial things I just referenced about the challenges in Osceola. You know, we talk about that as well, but I want to tell the whole story and give everybody a chance to find out some of the great things that don't often make it into the media.
So how many episodes per season do you produce? Does it vary depending on what you have going on, or do you have a set number, a goal that you try to reach for each season?
I've got it set now to where season 4 is going to have exactly 20 episodes. When I started out, I said I'll do at least 20 in the first two seasons. I did 22 or 23, and then I got to 20 in season 3. That was a whole different set of challenges because we started that season, started the recordings, and then in March, that's when we started getting hit nationwide and globally, really, with COVID-19. So since I go to all these places personally and sit down in person, and again, I think there's something to it as far as promoting the town and getting the kind of the flavor of it as I'm talking about it, talking with usually the mayor, but could be somebody else, local elected or appointed official. So when you're doing the travel and then all of a sudden you're supposed to not travel, people are nervous about things. People were distracted. The mayor can't have a free day to sit down. He's sitting down talking about public health and public safety and a lot of revenue issues. Things got upended on sales tax and some of the, so even through the disruptions, was able to do 20 episodes. And so I'm set on doing that. And I've started a second podcast that's gonna start this year. So that's the other reason I had to make it specifically 20 that'll still be released every other week once I get started. But those are on the leadership. I'm starting a new podcast called Green Shoots, and I've already got sponsors lined up for that, including the Georgia Rural Center, Georgia Grown, and Palk Vineyards. That's actually right here in Irwin County, the family farm I actually referenced earlier. And those are going to be stories about rural businesses. I ended up talking a lot about the local small town leadership, and I always want to tell about some of these, you know, kind of family business operations, a lot of times ag based, but not always just agriculture. And so, yeah, I'm actually starting a new podcast completely separate, a small town podcast, obviously a similar type of theme, but slightly different. So yeah, with that in the mix, I had to keep it at 20 episodes with small town podcast.
So you obviously enjoy being busy and having a lot on your plate.
I do tend to stretch myself thin. I've been incredibly fortunate to start to build a very supportive staff that's helped. I actually, a couple years ago, started a digital marketing agency. And so now I've got three young professional women that manage not just my brands, but also we do client work, digital management, whether it's building and maintaining websites, managing social media and digital production, which include audio like a podcast and promotional videos, whether they go on YouTube channels or shorter ones that go on social media. So that part in promoting the small towns and promoting the small town businesses has become very much a team effort. So yes, I do like taking on new things and new projects and the excitement of that. But I'm definitely not doing it all by myself anymore.
I've listened to some of your episodes in the past, not all of them. I've been a little busy, as you would imagine.
you got your own podcast. Absolutely.
I got that. I got a full-time job. I got a newborn baby. Life is busy right now, which, you know, I'd rather be busy than just sitting around doing nothing. But what's fun for me with your podcast is I know the places you're discussing. Somebody mentioned Douglas on an episode, and I told my wife, said, they just said Douglas, my hometown. You know, it's fun to hear about my hometown on a podcast. So that's fun because I know the area where you're from, the cities. So that's fun for me.
Yeah. I tell you, you'll love this then. We're sitting right here. We're 30 minutes from Douglas and on the other side, 30 minutes from Tifton. And so, yeah, people around here get a kick out of the feeling like, oh, we're famous now because now there's this podcast, this, you know, I have to describe it as a radio show to people that don't listen to podcasts. But Douglas, Coffee County Economic Development Authority and Chamber of Commerce is actually a season sponsor for season 4. And we worked out a deal that Douglas is too big because my population high watermark for population for a town that I consider a small town for my podcast is 10,000. Well, Douglas is bigger than that, but Ambrose, Broxton, and Nichols are all small towns in Coffee County. And so all three of those will be featured episodes this season on the podcast. So you'll get to hear some more from where you're from.
Well, I'm looking forward to that. That'll be a lot of fun to listen to that. And it's kind of funny that Douglas is too big. It's a big city for your small town podcast. Yeah.
I tell Mayor Tony Polk of Douglas and Mayor Julie Smith of Tifton, both friends have mentioned something about it. I just tell them your towns are booming metropolises compared to the small town of Osceola. So yeah, you're too big. That's where people, if they can't get something in Osceola downtown, hopefully they're shopping here first, but they're going one direction or the other to either Tifton or Douglas to pick up something. Yeah. So that's, yeah, It's all relative. So I'm sure they think they're small towns compared to a Macon, a Savannah, or Valdosta, but compared to us, they're the big city.
Well, I don't want to brag, but Douglas, recently we did open a Chick-fil-A. A Chick-fil-A opened in town, so we are moving up.
Yes, yes. So now there's Chick-fil-A 30 minutes in either direction from Osceola. So yeah, we get a little, I guess, the second degree of that, because we don't have to drive quite as far now. We can just go head over to Douglas instead of having to go much farther away. There is a Chick-fil-A in Tifton, so we've had that, but now we can go either direction. So yeah, we're excited about that too.
What have you learned about small towns since you started your podcast?
I guess the biggest thing it just reinforces, and it's something that I think people would say, yeah, I know that, but it's nice to have this reinforced, is that a lot of our challenges are similar. We have a lot of things in common. There's two good things about that. First of all, it's nice not to be alone if you're in some kind of trouble or going through a not so great situation. So there's some comfort in that. But the other piece of that is, that means we can help each other figure out how to tackle these challenges. Now, some of the big things like the tax digest receding while cost of things goes up, that one's a pretty big one to tackle. But some of the little things that folks are doing, and that's the great thing about the networking that I've been able to do, but the Georgia Municipal Association and any municipal association, I've now got relationship with the Mississippi Municipal League because of the podcast series I did in Mississippi. On the Louisiana Municipal Association, I'm actually headed back to Louisiana for season 4, but went there 2 years ago to do some small towns there. Those municipal associations are these great networking opportunities, and all the events, and even though we're not meeting in person now, the virtual opportunities to call up somebody and say, hey, this is Mayor so-and-so, hey, this is Mayor Seal over in Osceola. I'm having trouble with this, and I hear you've got a success story because I got promoted in this email, this newsletter, this, you know, this publication, whatever. And you can get some tips. And nobody that I've ever met that's in local leadership and in local government, city, county, or otherwise, wants to have a success story and then keep it to themselves. They would love to tell you how they accomplished it, what they ran into, what they tried the 3 times before they finally found this way that seems to work, and help you achieve the same success. Once there's success in an area, and this is not just small towns, this is just municipal government. Once someone finds out, hey, here's something we tried and it turns out it worked, and it might work for you too. You may have to tweak it for your community because every community is obviously slightly different. But nobody benefits by being the only one that has the success. They want to share that and let it be replicated. So that's been an incredible benefit of participating in these opportunities to see what's going on in other towns. And so that's the biggest thing for me. I get the advantage of, because you hear the interview, and most of the interviews are exactly what happened with a little bit of editing here and there. But then I hit stop and I start taking down my microphones, and more often than not, I'm still in a conversation with my guest, and sometimes there's some other people involved that weren't on the microphone, but were involved in coordinating the episode. And I get to ask a few questions. I get to hear about the new project in more depth, something that got mentioned for 5 or 7 minutes on the recording. I get 20 more minutes to ask some more in-depth questions that, you know, were just maybe just a little too nerdy for me to ask and put on the podcast, or would have been too lengthy. Sometimes we go to lunch afterwards. I get to go visit some of these places. So I get a huge advantage of seeing the great success stories. I wish I could portray and give all the details, but of course, when I'm trying to keep an episode under an hour, that's just not practical or possible. But that's the thing is there's some challenges, but there's some ways we can overcome these challenges. And there's some cities doing it. There's some small towns handling things and making things better for their economic development situation with regard to rural broadband. There's some folks having some successes by doing things a little different with regard to rural healthcare and job creation instead of going after the big, you know, 400 employee factory or plant or manufacturing facility. You know, setting up incubators to attract people that can employ 3 to 5, and if somebody has an incentive to start a business with 5 employees, You know, big cities, that's just not enough for them to focus on. So, you know, finding the niches, finding the ways to go about things, how to attract, how to engage. How to do things a little different. And that's what leadership is making things better. And better is by definition different than the way it is now, usually in a good way.
Now, obviously, there are so many more small towns that you can visit in the United States. But have you thought about maybe having some small towns and maybe take the podcast internationally, Canada, for example, having some small towns from Canada on the show?
I actually have had, it's been fun. The people that'll engage you, send you an email, it'll contact, you know, comment through the website or on social media. And I've had conversations with people in Canada, Australia, New Zealand, and Ireland. And so, yeah, I would love to have a small town podcast international version. that'll be a little down the road. There are 538 incorporated cities just in the state of Georgia. I believe 80%, but I know over 75% have populations of less than 10,000. So just that number alone would keep me busy for years and years just in my own home state. And I've already just had the great opportunity to go to Mississippi, to Louisiana. Like I said, I'm going back to Louisiana. I've been in conversations with folks in Florida, Alabama, Kentucky, Iowa, Arkansas, also North and South Carolina. So would love, I mean, that would just branch out. That doesn't even get me that far out of the Southeast, you know? So, yeah, I know there's just great stories. I love to explore because I think regions of the country, just the way the small towns are, and state to state, things are different. Louisiana, because in Georgia, we just have, you're an incorporated city and you can be any size. And by definition, you're called a city. Well, in Louisiana, they've got three different classifications. They've got cities, towns, and villages. And it's a definition based on population. So it's, and I'm sure there's townships, some different ways of doing things. And so I just think that's interesting, how things are set up in different places. And like I said, I'm a local government nerd now, trying to figure out all the you know, city charters and how things are set up at that level is interesting to me. But you know, the way that small towns interact and do things at the government level in the Midwest, in the Northeast, out in the Southwest, those are all, I'm sure they're going to have nuanced differences. But I also feel like there'd still be some commonality and just that sense of community that's just different in the small town. Nothing against big cities, and a lot of neighborhoods or you know, areas of big cities kind of act like small towns by themselves, but they're still in a place that's, you know, big and connected with tons of amenities. And so it's just a very different feel. And I'm just a small town guy, so I'd love to visit small towns everywhere. And yeah, definitely international would definitely be an aspirational goal for the future.
Do you have a launch date yet for the new podcast?
I'm looking at mid-March. I haven't nailed down the exact date just yet, but once we get those started, there'll be a new episode every other, I release them on Mondays. And then you got 2 weeks for that episode. And like I said, to promote it and follow on social media. So right now we're just encouraging people to, hey, if you just finding out about us, go listen. There's three seasons worth of episodes there to listen to in some great small towns that you can find out more about. And there'll be more on the way coming up real soon.
Well, everyone, go download Small Town Podcast. It's available on Apple Podcasts, on Spotify, on all major podcasting platforms. And be on the lookout for his new podcast as well. And next time I'm in Osceola, I'll stop by City Hall and I'll meet you. We'll shake hands in person. Well, maybe at a distance. Excuse me. It's 2021, COVID-19.
Fist bump.
I'm sorry. I forgot. It's COVID-19 season 2021. So at a distance, I will say hello.
All right. That sounds great. Come by anytime.
Well, Matt, it's been fun having you on the podcast, and I really look forward to new episodes of Small Town Podcast coming very soon to my Apple Podcast app.
Chad, good talking to you, and I'll see you when you come through Osceola, because you'll be stopping next time.
Sounds good.
All right, take care.
Erwinomics is the producer of Small Town Podcast. We also handle digital production and marketing for small businesses that help small towns survive and thrive. In today's global and very digital world, your digital presence is just as important as your physical presence, if not more so. Urbanomics helps clients with all aspects of digital communications, from website creation and maintenance, social media management, email lists and newsletters, digital content creation, including audio and video production, and making sure that all of these things are working together to build your business beyond the city limits and county lines, so you can focus on keeping your small town community strong and vibrant. For more information and to see how Urbanomics can help guide you in growing your business, go to Urbanomics.com or contact us through Small Town Podcast. That's IRWINOMICS.com. Urbanomics, helping small town business thrive. Well, small towners, that'll do it for this episode of Small Town Podcast. I want to thank Chad Whittle for inviting me on his podcast, and I encourage you to check out Chad's other episodes. As always, I want to thank our season sponsors for our podcast in its fourth season: the Georgia Municipal Association, Consolidated Pipe, and the Douglas Coffee County Chamber of Commerce and Economic Development Authority. Thank you all for supporting us as we explore and share great small towns. I'll talk to you soon, and y'all are welcome to come to Osceola anytime.
Small Town Podcast is an Urbanomics production. We release new episodes every other week featuring small towns through stories of the people who live and lead there. Our podcast episodes are made possible with editing assistance from Resonate Recordings, who also mixes and masters all of our episodes. You can subscribe to Small Town Podcast on iTunes or wherever you listen to your favorite podcasts, and the next episode will download while you sleep. You can also leave us a rating and review, which would help us reach new listeners. We would really appreciate it. Beyond our episodes, you can engage with us on Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter. You can also learn more about us and the small towns we visit by visiting our website, www.smalltownpodcast.com. We'd love to show all you small towners out there some great images from the small towns we visit and let you know about the festivals and events you can participate in. Thanks again for listening, and we hope to see you real soon, because there's no place like Osceola, Georgia.
We stand adjourned.